Good morning. It is great to be here this morning. It is great to see each and every one of you this morning. This morning I'm talking about something called scruffy hospitality. I read an article, and so a couple, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, and that was the name of the article. And so, but it really registered with me, and something that God's been working on my heart and in my family's heart, and so I wanted to share with you this morning. I wanted to start off with a question. And so what happens when you run into a friend that you haven't seen in a while? What's the first question you ask them? How are you doing? Mm-hmm. What else? What's new? What have you been up to? All those kinds of things, right? And so, and the response would go something like, well, you know, this is happening in our life. So-and-so was visiting. And you start sharing story, right? That's what we do. And so you'll share a story, and then you'll say, well, what about you? What's going on in your life? And then they'll share a story, right? And it goes back and forth like that, especially when you haven't seen someone in a while. But even when we meet someone new, it's the same thing. And the reason this is we're a people of story. And I don't mean this generation. I mean all generations. Before you could read, you can talk. You know, my little girls, well, they're not little anymore. But when they were little, even before they could speak words, they told us stories. They would go on and on and on, right? And so, but once they learned how to talk, it would be story after story, even though they couldn't read. And so I wanted to share a story about something that was instrumental in my relationship with Jesus. And so we're talking about the time period. It was before I was a Christian. I just started coming to Campbell River Baptist Church. My wife and I had been coming. And so one Sunday, the cool part about this story is it has nothing to do with church. It happened after church. So that's I find that really kind of neat. Anyways, we're in White Spot, and we're having lunch, and we're just finished, and we're about to get up and leave, and this older couple came over to our table. And their names were Bruce and Donna Peterson. And they came over to our table and just introduced themselves to us and told us that they'd saw us in church. And they just struck up a conversation with us. And they said, you know, and we had never met them before. We didn't even meet them in church. And they said, how about next Sunday we do the same thing, but we come to White Spot together? And so that's what we did. We met them at church the next Sunday. And we all went out to eat. And so the menus come, we sit down, the menus come, and we start sharing story. You know, we just talk, you know, and getting to know one another because we didn't know one another. You know, who we were, where we came from, who they were, where they came from, why they were here, all that kind of stuff. So the menus come, we order, the food comes, we're still talking. We eat our food. It's about 2:30. The waitress comes by and brings us dessert menus. We order dessert. We continue to talk. We continue to share story. We continue to get to know one another, and it just went on and on. 4:30, and I'm not lying. This is the waitress brings us supper menus, and we went. No, we have to go. We really do. But I can tell you that was real important for my wife and I. We had met lots of people at CRBC. We'd been introduced to lots of people. We'd got to know them. But it was really pivotal for us. And we, in the aftermath after that, we shared many, many, many meals with Bruce and Donna. The one thing that I will say was that Bruce, and I wasn't, I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I can tell you that there was never a time when Bruce, in our relationship, went, "Now, let me tell you about what I really want to talk to you about." He just got to know us, right? I'm going to come back to that story a little bit later on as we talk a little bit more about hospitality. And so let's talk first what hospitality is. In the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, it says this. It says, hospitality, it's a biblical concept often used with the term guest, stranger, sojourner. It is useful to limit the meaning of hospitality to benevolence done to those outside one's normal circle. Normal circle of friends, as is implied in the literal meaning of the Greek word. It means love of strangers. So when I'm talking about hospitality, for the most part, that's what I'm talking about today. So I thought we would take, we'd open up with and just go through the scriptures a little bit and see, well, where do we see hospitality in the Bible? And I'll give you a hint all the way through, from beginning to end. And so, but we're just going to take a quick spin through. We're going to start in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 18, verses 2 to 8 and verse 16. This is a story about Abraham, and he has some unexpected visitors who showed up. And so in the beginning of verse 2, it says this. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from his tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, three seas of flour, of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And then in verse 16, then the men set out from there and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. You know, one of the things that I notice that jumps out to me is the action. You know, like he leapt to the door. He ran. Abraham was a good host, right? He didn't say, "You didn't make an appointment. You didn't phone. My tent is messy," right? "I haven't prepared anything." He didn't do any of that. I'm going to continue on. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 58:7, "Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh." Right? This is talking about loving strangers, not hiding from the problems that are right in front of us. Not to hide yourself from your own flesh, from what's right in front of us. Welcome them in. You don't know them, that's okay. In Leviticus, we're talking about in the heart of the law here. It says, Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10, it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." These are for people who they don't know, those who need it, right? We are to look after those who we don't know. A little bit later on in the book of Leviticus, in verse 33 and 34, I love this one. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You see, God's reminding them what happened to them in Egypt, right? Because when the Israelites were in Egypt, they were in bondage. And he said, remember that. I saved you. I redeemed you. That is not how we're going to treat those who are sojourning here. That's not the people who you are to be. Right? God made a covenant with them that he would be their God and they would be his people, and his people would treat sojourners this way. Interesting. They need to love the stranger, not to take advantage of them. And they need to treat them as those that were amongst them, as one of their own. Okay. Let's go into the New Testament. In Luke 14, verse 13, it says, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. That sounds similar to the Isaiah passage and to the first Leviticus passage. In 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 9. The Apostle Peter says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And you think, easy enough. How about when you have company and you're hitting about day 3? Right? How about day 5? And these people, these strangers or sojourners, are in my space. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Okay, that's convicting for me. In 1 Timothy 3 and 2, so those who aspire or seek to take on leadership, the Apostle Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's talking about what it means to be an elder in the church. And he says, therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable. Here's that word again, hospitable, and able to teach. To be a leader, an elder in the church, is to be hospitable. Hospitality is a requirement to be an elder. Interesting. Let's continue on. Let's talk a little bit about, again, let's go back to who Jesus was. And without going to the passages, let's remember that Jesus' first miracle was when he showed up at a wedding and they ran out of wine. And he turned the water into wine. Because he didn't want the people to go without. He regularly ate with sinners. And let's also remember who we mean by sinners, because hopefully I'm talking about you and I. Because if you're not a sinner, you're the religious and the self-righteous. Right? When he came into an area, that's who he went to. That's who he said he came for, and he ate with them. He broke bread with them. At the end of our time together, we're going to celebrate communion. And that's what they were doing at the first communion. They were eating together. around a little table. They were celebrating the Passover feast. But Jesus was, in every way, he shows what it means to be hospitable to those he doesn't know. That's who he goes to. Those people who others, where the self-righteous wouldn't go near because they weren't worthy of them, whether they be women, those who were possessed, lepers, right? Samaritans, they wouldn't have anything to do with Samaritans. Jesus went right to those people and showed hospitality. Let's turn to in the book of John, in chapter 13. Now, this part doesn't have anything to do with food, but it does show hospitality. And it's a big passage. I'm going to go John 13, 1 to 5, and then the second part I'm going to talk is 12 to 17. So in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Then we'll take it up again in verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus shows us what it means to serve one another, how to be hospitable, but how to serve. You know, they had just finished eating after probably a hard day out. They were tired. They'd be wearing sandals. It's dusty. And he washes their dirty, smelly feet. Right? And he chooses to. There's an intentionality about what Jesus does here, so he shows them. He says, "Follow me. Do what I do. I am doing this for a purpose, so that you will walk in my steps." This is how you serve others when they come into your home. This is the love that you show them. You know, hospitality is something that, one, I've learned to truly love. I think it is something that God's done in my heart and continues to work in my heart. I love having people over. I love entertaining. I love creating a meal. I love to cook big, elaborate meals with lots of flavor. I love even theme nights. I love to do like a Greek night or an Italian night or a Mexican night. I've come to realize that I have some extrovert tendencies. Sometimes this can get in the way because I can make it more about the meal and not about the conversation. Because that's what it's about. Jesus ate with people, but he was not interested in the food. He was interested in those he was dining with. My wife, on the other hand, who's not here, but I have talked to her about this, she has more introvert tendencies. Some of you who know Carrie, it might surprise some of you that she does, because she can seem really outgoing. But I can tell you, she's a living example to me of what loving others looks like. She has a huge heart, huge amount of empathy for others who are hurting. And from her, I learn what it means to have a conversation with others, because she's really good at zeroing in on others. One of the other things that my wife is also, she's highly organized and very, very clean. She really is. So some would say that's a good fit. Others would say, wow. You can see where this is headed, where I like to have people over, which she does too, but she also likes her quiet time. She likes everything being in their place. This isn't in my notes, but I got to share it. We just spent some time camping a little while ago with friends, and we were using their Uno cards. And so we opened up their Tupperware, and I've got to make this quick because it's not in my notes. So we open up this Tupperware, and so we take out, there's a whole bunch of Uno cards in there. It seems like it's bigger than normal. And so this is just to show you how organized my wife is. We start going, passing them out, and there's two different decks in there. They're all Uno cards. And we just kind of grabbed a bunch and just started handing them out. And you really could see that she started to get antsy. And I'm just watching this because I know exactly what's going on. These two decks of Uno cards just was throwing her totally off. We finished that hand. She got through it, but she goes, okay, we've got to separate these. And she's like organizing them all, because you could tell because one was newer than the other. And so before we continued on with having more games of Uno, we had to separate them and only use the one pack, because she could not do that. This amount of organization can be a little off-putting or a struggle in the beginning when you start having people over, right? Because here's where the conflict is. I want to have people over, but the house might not be super clean. Or there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up, and I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. We start going through these things. And so these are things that Carrie and I have been kind of walking through as a family, right, over the last several years. And, we just found that we compromised, because we all fall somewhere in there. Some of us have extrovert tendencies, some of us have introvert tendencies. But we just compromised. We learned to find dates on our calendar. I learned that to find dates on the calendar and say, what would work for you, honey, this month? And we would circle them so that I knew when would be a good time that we could do that, right? I also learned that it's okay for me to help pick all the stuff up before people come as well, right? It may not have to be spotless, but that helps out my wife in how she wants to present the house as well. I said I love to cook as well, and so sometimes if we're going to have people over, my wife works part-time, so I'll sometimes have people over, and then she'll just come and meet us and that kind of stuff, and so I'll cook the meal. You learn to do what you can with what you've got, right? Sometimes you got to compromise in what that looks like. But we realized that we wanted to create a home. Both of us did. We prayed about it. We realized that we wanted to create a home where others felt comfortable, where we could engage in good conversation, where others would feel comfortable to drop in. And that's where we wanted to get to. Where even right before a meal, right? And that's something that we work on, and people do. People will drop in right before a meal and will eat, but it's more about conversation. And we've had people in our church model this for us, right? Early on in my walk, we had another couple. We went over for lunch, and it was a simple lunch. Soup, maybe tuna melts or soup and buns, but it was about the conversation. And that's really where we've learned to grow in. The meals don't need to be elaborate, but we want the conversation to absolutely be engaging. You know, as I talk to Christians about regularly showing hospitality and what that looks like, there's usually about three impediments to it. Let's talk about those. I don't know where it went, but that's okay. Let's talk about those three impediments. Number one is, I do not have enough time to clean my house before people come over. You know, in this era where kids are busy and they've got this activity, they've got that activity, often two parents working, I don't have time to clean my house, there's just not enough time. I don't have enough time to cook a good meal. Or, I'm not that good of a cook. So that's two. And the third one is, I don't know what to say about my faith. I don't know what to say about Jesus. What if they ask me a question, they find out that I go to church, what do I say? Right? And so those are the three things. Not enough time to clean my house. Not enough time to cook a meal, or I'm not a good cook, somewhere in there. And three, I don't know what to say about Jesus. So what I'm learning is to show hospitality and to get to know people. We look to show hospitality in the things that we're already doing. That's the reason why I love having people over for meals. Generally, each one of us has about 21 meals a week. Seriously, how much time does it take with whatever you are eating to put on a little extra? It takes no more time. We're already eating, right? We're already eating. We're already doing those things. It takes no time to put on a little extra. For families who have kids and they may take them to the park, how much extra effort does it take to go to your neighbors who have kids and invite them to come with you? And so you all go to the park. You might share your snack with them and again, engage in conversation while you watch your kids play in the park. Or if you like to fish, or if you like to camp, or if you like to fill in the blank. Whatever it is that you do, time doesn't seem to be the issue because you're already doing these things, right? You're already doing them. The third point about what do you say about Jesus, that's interesting too, because up to now we haven't even talked about that when we've talked about hospitality. We've talked about conversation. We've talked about engaging conversation, getting to know them. But we've not talked about sharing our faith. I believe we need to be intentional with what we're doing, but not to have an agenda. Let me explain what I mean by that. We need to invest our time, our treasure and our talents in what Jesus has for us. Right? We need to be doing those things. But we don't need to have an agenda. We need to make, when we're engaged with other people, we need to be more interested in who they are and what they're sharing than what I have to share. Because when I'm busy talking with you and I'm just waiting so that I can share what's on my mind that I think you need to hear, I'm missing what you're sharing with me about your hurt or your victory or a need or a health concern. I'm missing what you're saying, and that's the point. That's where Jesus shows up. And the other thing is, you know, if you don't know what to know, you're talking with someone, they ask you about your faith. If you have a relationship with Jesus, the one thing you do have is you have a story about how you met Jesus, what that relationship, what you were like before you met him, how he's changed your life. You have that. That is something that anybody who has a relationship with Jesus, they have. That is something that you can share. If you're looking for more than that, we have a Story of God discipleship series. It starts in September. It's 10 weeks where we go from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end through story. It's one story, and then we just discuss. We discuss what it is, but what does that mean for us? And you start, as over these 10 weeks, you start to see from beginning of the Bible to the end, these major themes and how things fit in there. What does Jesus have to say about these things? I have a couple more passages to share. Because I'm talking about scruffy hospitality. One of my favorite passages is in Acts 2. In verses 42 to 47, but I'm going to just share 46 and 47. This is the early church. Jesus has already risen. The disciples have been filled with the Spirit, and this is when they're starting. This is when they're meeting. But it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." You know, this is a great example of scruffy hospitality. Day by day, they met together. Have you ever camped with a couple of other families for a few days? It has to be a little scruffy as you share your day-to-day lives with someone. They start to see you, sometimes maybe without... For ladies, without your makeup on. They start to see you with all of your weaknesses exposed. They start to see you and hear from you before you've had your first coffee. How about that? The key is, if people don't see the real us, with our struggles, then they won't be able to identify with us. If we put on a mask... And you know the mask I'm talking about. You know when you're in the foyer and you ask how someone's doing? And they say, fine. And they ask you how you're doing and you say, fine, even though you're not fine. What would it be like if that wasn't the case? You know, right before I came on, I asked someone in the coffee time how they were doing. And they shared something that was really hard. And it was a blessing to me that they were able to do that because they shared their heart. But that's what we're talking about. The people who God has planted us amongst have to see us as people who need Jesus, because we do. The point of our existence is to point others to Christ. When they see us, they should see Jesus work in us. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of what we're talking about this morning. This article that I read, it was by a guy named John King. And it was called Why Scruffy Hospitality Creates Space for Friendship. And I just wanted to share, next slide. I just wanted to share what John King says about what he thinks scruffy hospitality is. And the reason why it resonated with us is this is what my wife and I have been working through and God's been pulling out of us. So let me read it with you. Scruffy hospitality means you're not waiting for everything in your house to be in order before you host and serve friends in your home. Scruffy hospitality means you hunger more for good conversation and serving a simple meal of what you have, not what you don't have. Scruffy hospitality means you're more interested in quality conversation than the impression your home or lawn makes. If we only share meals with friends when we're excellent, we aren't truly sharing life together. Don't allow a to-do list to disqualify you from an evening with people you're called into friendship. Scheduling is hard enough in our world. If it's eating with kind, welcoming people in a less than perfect house versus eating alone, what do you think someone would choose? We tell our guests to come as you are, and then I like this, perhaps we should tell ourselves, host as you are. Now, why can't I do that with my friends? Why? That seems good. But why is it just, you know, we talked about hospitality being with the stranger, the sojourner, right? Let's just read through a couple of quick passages on why, what we're called to. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus is saying this before he ascends to heaven. And he's giving us our walking papers. He's giving us our marching orders. He's giving us our mission, because this is his mission that he's giving us. And he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, we're called to mission. Wherever we are to make disciples. This is a command to each and every one of us. This isn't just a command to go on missions. This is a command to be on mission. As you are going to the store, make disciples. As you are going to the park, make disciples. As you are making your meal, make disciples. It means with strangers. But the good news is he will help us. He has sent us the Holy Spirit. In the book of John 15, verses 26 and 27, Jesus says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit is a helper. He will call. He will do the work. He will lead. Do you remember the Leviticus passage when God reminded them about they were once in Egypt, they were once slaves, and God redeemed them? He did that because of the covenant that he made with Abraham, that he will be their God and they will be his people. It means that they will be different. They would be a different people. They would be set apart, that they would be holy. The reason is that when people saw the Israelites, they were supposed to see God. The problem is they couldn't live up to that. They broke the covenant. They sinned. And they sinned. And they sinned. This is important because we're no different. We were born into sin. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why Jesus had to pay the price for our sin by dying on the cross. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The new covenant is with Christ and in Christ because he upholds both sides of the covenant. He is our God and we are his people because he paid the price. He upholds both sides of the covenant. That passage said it's not of our doing, it's his doing. The debt is settled. It is not our doing. It's a gift. But it doesn't end there. We are his workmanship, it says. That he's prepared good works for us that we are to walk in. Wow. That's the reason why it's with strangers. We, when they see us, they're to see what Christ is doing in us. So, 5 points to wrap up of Scruffy Hospitality. Repentance of our pride. It's not about the 5-star quality of our meal. It's not about perfection in the area of cleanliness of my home. In fact, it's not even about me. It's about Jesus. It's also about the work that he's doing in me. That's point one. Point two, intentional. I will never save anyone. You will never save anyone. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But I do need to be intentional with my time, with my treasure, and with my talent. The things that I'm already doing, we've gone through them. I can do with others. Because here's the deal. God's planted me where I'm at. He's planted me in Campbell River, on Skipton Crescent, around those neighbors. He's planted me in other spheres of influence, in other areas of town as well. That's who he's planted me amongst. I need to be intentional with what I do. Prayerful. Pray for those God has planted me amongst, and pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their lives. I want to pray that God will use me to show Christ to them. I also want to pray that God would change my heart so that I will love them as he does. I need to pray that he will guide my conversation and my tongue. Mostly with me, I need to pray that I hold my tongue. I pray that I will listen to God and in my conversation to others. Fourth point, I need to be attentive. I need to listen for God's leading. Stopping and just listening. I need to listen in my conversations. It needs to be about the other person, not about myself. Fifth point. There's no pressure. How does that sound? There is no pressure. Because I'm not in control. I don't have to put on this mask that everything is perfect. He's in control. I'm not. Jesus says he will build his church, not Adrian. The Holy Spirit will call them to himself, not Adrian. I just have to allow myself to be used and seen by others as one who is not perfect and needs Christ. No pressure. 5 points. Repent of our pride, being intentional, being prayerful, being attentive, and there's no pressure. Now, if you remember my opening story with Bruce and Donna at White Spot, these 5 points were all in there. I was just on the other side of the table. We had many meals with them, and they became great friends and mentors to us. They answered many questions about my faith, and I can tell you at no time did Bruce ever say, "Now let's get down to what we really came for." At no time did he do that. And Bruce wasn't even there when I accepted Christ. He wasn't in the room when I prayed to accept Christ. But I can tell you this without a shadow of a doubt, that God used him as much as anyone else in drawing myself to him. Bruce made conversational space in the many times that we spent together, and it was numerous. He made conversational space so those discussions could take place and allow the Spirit to work in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you that you and you alone are God, that you are in control. Thank you that you are partnering with us, that you call us to this mission of yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and paid the price. Lord, I just pray that we will be those people that when people see me, that they see the work that you're doing in my life. I pray that for each and every person who is here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to come and